This passage today in Luke chapter 6, which is often used in stewardship season, churches, when they're trying to get you to give money. It says, give and it will be given to you. Full measure, packed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. And as Ken was standing here, I was reminded of the cough it up for Jesus phrase that he's famous for. But this is not really going to be a stewardship meditation this morning so much as it is just a meditation on this idea that's mentioned in this passage clearly. Be compassionate as your loving God is compassionate. That back out, right? Don't judge. You won't be judged. There you see the cycle idea again. Don't condemn and you won't be pardoned. Again, and then give, and it will be given to you. Full measure. Very interesting that we sometimes in our societies, in our Western societies, forget how important it is to model the way that we live our lives after natural order, because we're so invested in the idea of progress. For order, we see this idea of pattern all the time. Take up nutrients from ground and water and sun, drop it under the ground, and then looks like it's all going to end. They drop their leaves. Oh, for us in Ohio, we know this real gray and brown. They drop their leaves in the fall, and it looks like it's all over. Again, they have given, they receive back again. Natural life. Carrie and I were watching a video the other day, that 30 Days series. Watch that with Morgan Spurlock. He did the video about the supersize. Ate McDonald's food for 30 days, is that what it was? So he tries to do different things for 30 days. So the day nights, watched a about a person who is an atheist living in a fundamentalist Christian household for 30 days, and you can imagine all the fireworks that were happening in this household. One person sort of having the idea that there's this manipulative, micromanaging, probably male, human-like God beings working on everything if we're good. Other people saying, no, no such rationally and. And after we got done with that video, I decided to watch another one. The next one that we watched was a person who spent 30 days on an Indian reservation, Navajo reservation. Very interesting, the spirituality Navajo reservation was so much richer than either one of the two options of spirituality we just watched in the earlier episode, right? And so, very first thing Morgan learns he has to do in the morning on this Navajo reservation is wake up before the sun comes up, take a jog with the village elder, and he's done. Sun comes up. Hands ground. Body. And leave with that strength, go through the day with it. Then, no idea of a big. They're understanding the patterns that are built here of. Later. Whatever it is that God, we depend on what it is. Touch your heart and your legs, that's fine. How good is it? Recognize that there's no back over blessing. That's the way it goes. That's the way the cycle of life goes. Giving. Sometimes it takes us a long time to figure that out. In particular cultures, we have difficulties with this. And as Carrie and I were going through orientation to become missionaries in Japan back in 1999 or 2000 or something, one of the things they told us was that, you know, Japanese culture is a culture that's going to plot out all the cultures in the world, spectrum of individualistic versus communal. Find America over on the other end, and we kind of looked at each other and we're going, ooh, we're going to a different place, aren't we? But it was true that in Japan, there was this idea of being part of built into the very culture. The very first time we ever recognized this is when Carrie and I was done with seminary in Princeton, and I'd received a fellowship to go study somewhere overseas for a year. We decided to go to Prague in the Czech Republic, where there's the International Baptist, the Evangelical Theological Faculty of Charles U. Center of Anabaptist Hussites. And when we got there, we found out that this was a community of people from all around the world that were studying, not just Western European countries. Looked like us or thought like us. And we lived in a building that was a dorm, but really it wasn't a dorm like we think of a dorm. It was a sort of an open door policy dorm thing. We realized that was going on. It was very different. It took some time to get used to. We would notice that very early on that there was packed children who would run around the dorm, and they were the Africans' children. We have people studying there from Ghana, Rwanda, Zimbabwe at that time. A lot of the African group were around. Get any orientation, get out ourselves. They would come to different people. Never do else. Dinner there. And so all of a sudden there would be 10 African children in our room, and we were supposed to feed them dinner. Now you can imagine how that felt. Coming from Ohio. We're Midwesterners, you know. I mean, come on. Common decency? Tell me you're coming? Call ahead of time? You know. We didn't know what was going on. And what we found out was that in the which they were apart, it was very common. Or discovered this later, that the parents were leaving. The parents would leave, go do their shopping or whatever at dinner time. And it was expected that the children would find somebody in the at wherever they found, you're supposed to feed them. And so we thought, oh, we need to buy extra food because we never know when we're having 10 extra people for dinner. But it's also interesting that we realized that any of the kids could be part of that group. Not just a group of little African children, but white child amongst them wandering around. Sometimes it was our little white child who was sitting on their lap doing things. But it was a different idea of community, of giving and receiving. Realize, oh, you know, how restricted are we by our own cultural sort of ideas of what is mine? You know, we grow up in a culture that is different. I've got it. It's mine. That's not the way everybody in the world works. That it's ours. Worked. One of the things that was very influential during that time was real joy. I knew how it worked. Oh, I heard the kids ate at your house last night. They had a really good time. The linkage there, connection, because we let both. I heard a Mennonite pastor one time about a commitment that he had made. I was about joy. actually a story about joy. Churches called him in to fundraise. Said, I only want to talk about joy. They said, wait a minute, we called you in to fundraise. And he goes, I know, I want to talk about joy. So the message was this. When I was younger, I was told by my parents that happy, I had to arrange my life that I would be able to be generous to. The time I was very young, my Mennonite people were telling me that you give away, you live on 80% of your income. And so he said, I realized over my life that as I was raised that way and it seemed normal to me, it's never been abnormal. It's always been normal for me to live on 80%, give away 10% of my income. I've done special things like, for example, deciding he will never let anyone else pay. Because he's budgeted it in. That joy that gives him. Carrie and I have thought too wise because we, all those years we have saving 10%. I was reflecting as I was thinking about this passage about generosity. It could be so much more. We have so much. Look at people in other countries. So much. Think are small. They're big compared to them. We have so much to give. Oh, because we've been raised to serve it. Hard to let go of it. What a benefit if we could structure our lives, ourselves, the freedom to. It creates a lot of joy for us. Are you doing that? And I mean, loan for this, or you're that, or doesn't. But the issue is this, that I'm living within, that if a disaster happens, happened to us before, lost a job, had to live on one income. Well, all those years. Ourselves with during that time. And then another time, about a year and a half almost, already made the giveaway. Made life so much easier on me. I see about it. I see have not budget, pragmatic about that. Great deal of stress. Nothing left. Moved anywhere. I'm stuck. So what this Mennonite person said, but I wanted to talk about joy. How I found joy in my life is to be happy, flow through benefits. This, I think, is what I wanted to get at when I was reading this passage. I think last, open-handed, where you can receive giving back with your life with things back with. Words. That's so nice. Didn't we get there? The world. It'd be nice if the whole world thought that way. This is not just a Christian concept, and so many of the things that we read out of the Bible are not just that are wired in what it means to. Take them in. Blessing. Oh God, I thank you for the ability you've given us to be aware of ways in which help us to breathe in those blessings more than once or twice, to breathe out blessing in return.